Right after the service today, our summer jam meeting is going to happen in the children's wing. And so those who are going to be involved with that. In the early 1900s, George Riddle acquired a sensational London newspaper called The News of the World. He met British journalist Frederick Greenwood one day. Riddle mentioned he owned a newspaper and told Greenwood that he would send him a copy. The next time they met, Riddle asked Greenwood what he thought of the news. "I looked at it, and then I put it in the waste paper basket," said Greenwood. "And then I thought, if I leave it out, the cook may read it, so I burnt it." We can experience in Jesus what we want everyone to have. Let's pray. Jesus, you said you came to give us life and to have it to the fullest. This hope and purpose in life can only be found in you. So we ask you to come today and fill us with your presence. Fill us with yourself. Allow your kingdom life to come alive in our whole being. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. The text today is going to come from John 14, 1 to 21. I'm going to read it. Ernie will have it up there. He does it ready. "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again and will take you to myself, so that where I am, there you may be also. And you may know the way to the place where I'm going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you're going. How could we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you know me, you'll know the Father. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father, and we'll be satisfied." Jesus said to him, "I've been with you all this time, Philip, and you still don't know me. Whoever has seen the Father, how can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father's in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak of my own, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe in me that I am in the Father, and the Father's in me. But if you do not, then believe because of the works themselves. Very truly I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and in fact will do greater works than these, because I'm going to the Father. I'll do whatever you ask in my name, so the Father may be glorified in the Son. If in my name you ask me for anything, I'll do it. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And I'll ask the Father, and he'll give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him because he abides with you, and he will be in you. I will not leave you orphaned. I am coming to you. In a little while the world will no longer see me, but you will see me, because I live. You will also live. On that day you will know that I am in the Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. They who have my commandments and keep them are those who love me, and those who love me will be loved by my Father, and I'll love them and reveal myself to them." Today is Palm Sunday. It should bring up images of palm branches being waved wildly, shouts of Hosanna, and Jesus riding a donkey colt into Jerusalem. Everything seems to be working out for the followers of Jesus. Finally, they hope that the masses will recognize Jesus as the true Messiah that all have been waiting and longing for. But things don't always go the way we plan. Have you noticed that? What looks like the ultimate victory being right around the corner for those who follow Jesus will actually end up plunging them down into utter darkness and despair. In these 40 days of Lent, been walking through Jesus' statements about who he really is in the Gospel of John. So far, we've looked at, I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. Before Abraham was, I am. And I am the gate for the sheep. I am the vine. And today, in John 14, Jesus says, I am the way. I am the life. I am the truth. In the previous chapter, John 13, Jesus washes the disciples' feet and then calls them to lead by being the servants of all. This is so radical to how the world operates off of being dominated and then dominating others. And then Jesus starts talking about his betrayal. It would seem very unusual for one that is on the verge of entering Jerusalem as the king to talk about his impending death. Jesus speaks of being glorified, which will ultimately be revealed with him hanging on the cross. John 12:32, and Jesus said, and when I'm lifted up from the earth, I'll draw everyone to myself. Then he tells his followers where he's going. They cannot follow just yet. But he encouraged them to live into his commandment of loving one another. Just as Jesus has loved them, just as Jesus loved us, we are to love one another. John 14 starts out, verse 1, with the most incredible statement. Don't let your heart be troubled. Let me say that again. Don't let your heart be troubled. Believe in God, also believe in me. Has anyone here ever had a troubled heart? Or a better question may be, have you ever had a calm heart? The disciples have had many reasons to have troubled hearts. And often so do we. Jesus, who they have walked with faithfully over the last 3 years, is going to leave them and depart, and they'll be on their own. We can feel this way at times, like we're on our own. They're going to have to trust Jesus, especially when he's not physically with them. And so are we. John 14, 2 and 3. My Father's house, there are many dwelling places, mansions. If it were not so, would I have told you that I've go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again and will take you to myself, so that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way to the place where I'm going. This life is not all there is. There's another one coming in eternity that'll last forever. So we can live our lives in such a way that Jesus is going to prepare a place for us, as he will for all those who follow him. Even though Jesus will physically depart from his followers, they'll be able to abide and be fully connected to him through the coming of the Holy Spirit. His disciples would not be forgotten, and neither will we. The troubles in this life will not have the final say. Jesus will. John 14:5. Probably not too surprising. Thomas asks, Lord, we don't know where you're going or how to get there. Many things Jesus is saying is going right over the disciples' heads. But later, the Holy Spirit will remind them and they'll have clarity which they don't have at present. And then John 14, 6 and 7, Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you know me, you'll know the Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Thomas has just said, we don't know the way to get where you're going. And Jesus declares, I am the way. What the disciples are probably thinking of is a physical passageway to follow Jesus wherever he's going. But instead, Jesus' response will resonate with what is playing out in the spiritual kingdom of God. Who here knows the physical part of our being is not all that we are? There's way more depth and complexity going on in us besides eating and sleeping and brushing our teeth or taking a bath. Jesus is telling his followers that everything they're looking for in this life and the one to come is found in him. Developing an intimate relationship with Jesus opens up the door with full fellowship with the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Jesus says, if you know me, you know the Father. When you see me, you've seen the Father. John 14:8, Philip says, show us the Father, and we'll be satisfied. Jesus responds in verse 9, saying to Philip, you've been with me all this time, and still you don't know me? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. Why is seeing Jesus like seeing the Father? Because Jesus is God. Throughout the centuries, many religious leaders have pointed away from themselves toward God. But Jesus is pointing to himself as God's full revelation in human form, fully human and fully God. Jesus is the end goal for all who want to encounter God. John 14:10-11. Jesus continues saying, the words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe in me that I'm in the Father and the Father's in me, or at least believe because of the works you've seen me do. What physical manifestations is Jesus referring to by works? Healing the blind, the lame, the lepers, loving unconditionally, casting out demons, feeding the poor, preaching the good news, acting in compassion and mercy, raising the dead. Quite aptly put by the man who was born blind in John 9:32-33. Nobody has ever heard of opening the eyes of a man born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. Continuing John 14:12-15. Very truly, I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and in fact will do greater works than these, because I'm going to the Father. I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. In my name, you ask me for anything, I'll do it. Jesus is saying his followers are going to do the same kind of works he did and even greater, because Jesus is going to the Father. But whatever happens, from healings to deliverances to caring for the poor, it's all done in Jesus, through Jesus, and by Jesus. And to Jesus goes all the glory and all the honor and all the power. Do you remember the story in Acts 19:13-16? A group of Jews were traveling from town to town, casting out evil spirits. They tried to use the name of the Lord Jesus in their incantation, saying, I command you in the name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches, to come out. The seven sons of Sceva and a leading priest were doing this. But one time when they tried it, the evil spirit replied, I know who Jesus is. And I know who Paul is, but who are you? Then the man with the evil spirit leaped on them, overpowered them, attacked them with such violence, they fled from the house naked and battered. We are no match in the spiritual world without Jesus. John 14:14-15. If in my name you ask for anything, I'll do it. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Praying in Jesus' name is not a magical formula to get everything we want. We want to pray according to God's will. And what is God's will? That we keep his commandments. Jesus later summed this up by saying, love God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. When Jesus goes, then the advocate, the comforter, will come. John 14:16-17. And ask the Father, and he'll give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him or knows him. You know him because he abides in you and he'll be in you. The third person of the Godhead, the Holy Spirit, will come and be with us forever. There's no place that we can go that God's presence is not there, because he now lives within all those who follow Jesus. John 14, 18, 20, Jesus says, I will not leave you orphaned. I am coming to you. In a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you'll see me because I live in you. You also will live. On that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. The Holy Spirit abides in us. In this not great news for Jesus' followers who are about to witness his crucifixion firsthand, it's incredible news. They will not be alone. He'll be with them always. Is this not great news for us who encounter trials and sufferings throughout our lives? We will never be orphaned. Jesus is always with us. The last verse, John 14, 21. They who have my commandments and keep them are those who love me, and those who love me will be loved by my Father, and I'll love them and reveal myself to them. Jesus says, I will never leave you or forsake you. Once President Franklin Roosevelt was preparing a speech, he needed some economic statistics to back up his point that he was trying to make. His advisor said, it'll take 6 months to get accurate figures. He said, in that case, I'm going to use rough estimates. He wrote down some numbers in his text. He says, they're reasonable figures, and they'll support my point. Besides, it'll keep my critics busy for at least 6 months trying to prove me wrong. I challenge you to prove that Jesus is not the great I am, the way, the truth, and the life. Some may be surprised by this, but there are not many paths to God. Jesus declares, it's through him. I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life, and only in him that we find God. There are no shortcuts or roundabout ways to get here. We often like the idea that we're the ones who will play life out on our own terms. I did it my way. But our way and our best intentions leave us completely bankrupt spiritually and ultimately lost. Today is Palm Sunday, which will move us quickly to Good Friday. And so I'd like to point to a couple of statements Jesus makes on the cross that relates to him being the way, the truth, and the life. The first one is in John 19, 26 and 27. When Jesus saw his mother and then the disciple whom he loved standing beside her, he said to his mother, Woman, here is your son. Then he said to the disciple, Here is your mother. And from that hour, the disciple took her into his home. Often people will point to this text as Jesus making sure his mother was taken care of. But there were other family members that it could have taken care of Mary. Fleming Rutledge suggests this. Jesus is creating a new community that comes into being through his power. When the Christian community is working the way it's supposed to, people are brought together who have absolutely nothing in common, who may have diametrically different views on things, who may even actively dislike each other. But now they become a family under the transformative work of God that has erased all barriers. This is why you can travel anywhere in the world and meet someone for the first time who's a follower of Jesus, and you can experience a spiritual connection because of the Spirit of Christ residing within us. And then the second phrase, Luke 23, 46, it says, Then Jesus shouted, Father, I entrust my spirit into your hands. And with these words, he breathed his last. This phrase, I entrust my spirit into your hands, is actually a quote from Psalm 31:5. Jesus committing his complete care into the Father's hands, just like he taught the disciples to do, just like he's teaching us to do. John 14:1. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, also believe in me. In every sense, Jesus is indicating to us both now how to live and also how to die, always in Christ. In the same way that we identify with Jesus' death in baptism and we're made a new creation in him, We also identify with his resurrection and the life that is to come. Romans 8:11. The Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. And just as God raised Christ from the dead, he will give life to your mortal bodies by the same Spirit living within you. Jesus said, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Let's pray. Jesus, we need you in every part of our lives. In our waking, in our walking, in our eating, in our sleeping, in our dying. You have affirmed that you are the way and the truth and the life, and we invite you to come and live in and through our very being. Come and give us life like only you can give. We pray this in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Seated. I have a couple announcements. Benediction. We'll sing one more song, then you'll be dismissed. So coming this week on Wednesday at 2 o'clock is the funeral for Gloria Hemrick. On Friday is the Good Friday service at the Father's house starting at 10:30. Right after the service in the children's wing, we're going to have a summer jam meeting. And then also, if you want prayer today, somebody will be in the back corner to pray with you. As you go under the sign of the cross, knowing that a relationship with Jesus draws us into community, the Trinity, with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and draws us into community with one another. Amen.
Would you please stand one more time?
Everybody.